morning. Our subtitle is Your God is Bigger Than the Strongholds of the Enemy. Your God is bigger, okay? Just say with me, God is bigger, okay? Doesn't matter what's happening in the world or our life. Doesn't matter what the headlines are. Our God's bigger. Our text will be Mark chapter 5. If you want a copy of the notes, the ushers will give it to you. And please follow along with me. Beginning with verse 1, that last week we talked about chapter 4, coming through the storm, Christ getting into the other side. And Christ crossed the sea to help one person. There's nothing God wouldn't do for one person. Verse 1, then they came to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gadarenes. Mark 5, 2, and when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Worship gives people that are oppressed temporary relief. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. The tense in the Greek is, Jesus had continually said more than once. So this was a stronghold resistant to Christ's original command of freedom. And Jesus said, what is your name? Okay. What is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged Jesus, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There was about 2,000 swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. I was going to call this sermon, Pigs Can't Swim. But I didn't think that was dignified enough. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Ah, amazing. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And they began to plead with Jesus to depart from the region. And so he got into the boat. And he that had been demon-possessed begged Jesus that he might also go with him. However, Jesus did not permit him. But he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And so the man departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Father, I thank you for your word that lives, that is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. Anoint your servant, your people, and your word. Today, show the devil who's boss. I loosen deliverance. The grace and freedom of God is here. Strongholds will be torn down. Healing will be released, and Jesus will be exalted. Thank you, God, for a day of freedom, joy, victory, healing, life, salvation, miracles. That's who you are. Have your way in Christ's name, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Jesus arrived on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the moment he put his foot down, the territorial stronghold said, he's here. Let me help you with a couple of things. When you're in your kingdom assignment, you never have to go looking for the devil. He'll come looking for you. And anytime you enter into new territory, the representation of that territory will identify you and object to you being in its realm. But any place God sends you where people are tormented, he sent you to set them free. Any place God sends you where there's darkness, he sent you to be a light. Any place where there's agony and trauma and pain, he sends you there to bring healing, freedom, and resurrection. You're a miracle man, you're a miracle woman, you're a history maker, you're a world shaker. And God's going to use you for all kinds of things. So this story begins, but so Jesus touched down there, and I you know, my sermon could talk about a lot of things today, and I want you to stay connected with me, because Jesus wants his church free. Because only free people can free people. Only healed people can heal people. Only blessed people can bless people. Only loved people can love people. And so there are strongholds in our life that God's ready to remove by his grace, his word, his spirit, his love, his kingdom, his anointing. This man touched ground there, and so everything began to be revealed. Ephesians chapter 6, here's what the Bible says. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might, God is stronger than the devil. The Holy Spirit's stronger than demonic spirits. And when we're in the strength of God, we are greater as he that's in you than he that's in the world. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might, for he wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So the devil's real. And for the most part, the Western church acts like there's no devil. You with me? But there is a devil, and he sits in the second row saying amen to every preacher. Says, don't worry about the devil. And we're not supposed to worry about the devil. But so when I went to Bible school, one of my professors said, at the cross, every demon was defeated, which is true. He says, you don't ever have to worry about in public ministry about devils. And that week, I was an 18-year-old youth pastor. I cast the devil out of a Satanist in my church. And he got saved, and he brought the whole high school to my, we had a revival because a Satanist got saved. And I waved my hand and said, sir, excuse me. This week, I cast the devil out of a Satanist. He said, oh, that's all just psychosomatic. The devil either wants us to completely ignore him or to be completely obsessed with him. Both of them are wrong extremes. When we find devils, we're supposed to bind them and remove them and help people be free from them. We're not supposed to chase after them, but when we encounter darkness, we are to shine. When we encounter people bound, we're to help them get set free. So this man comes to Jesus. He's got issues. So let's talk about these issues in just a minute. So all sin begins with temptation, and it graduates into behavior. So anything you let in your life stay becomes strong. So sin begins with some kind of interest. It becomes an obsession. Then it becomes a powerful presence. So even when the Bible talks about sin, all sin begins by a natural encounter. So the Bible talks about witchcraft. It's a sin of the flesh. But it's also demonic power. So a person who wants to control other people, if they don't stop that control and they give into it, it becomes demonic. The same with all sins, okay? They start in the flesh, they graduate to a spiritual reality. My second point is this. The devil is a cruel, hateful monster who creates great suffering and pain to anyone under his influence. So notice with me what the Bible says. He had an unclean spirit. People that are under the influence of the enemy never get better, smarter, cleaner, prettier. The devil mocks the dignity of man in the face of God by subjecting them to cruel, torturous existence. And so this man is an unclean spirit. So when a person is an unclean spirit, it will always show up either morally or physically. So if you go to someone's house, and it's so we have today called hoarders. Now that's a psychological problem, But there's no doubt it has spiritual roots. Okay? So when you come to a house and their house is filled with junk and they can't even throw garbage away and everything's, and they think that's normal. It's because what's living inside of them says that's normal. But when the Holy Ghost is inside of you, you say, that's not normal. So, see, God wants to replace unclean spirits with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the same thing morally. So people say, well, I'm doing this sexual behavior and I feel good about it. I feel fine about it. That's because what's inside of you feels fine about it. But if you replace that unclean thing with the Holy Ghost doesn't feel good about it. Amen? He doesn't feel good. So this generation, thanks to rewriting the rules of marriage, well, Pastor, we love each other. We don't think we have to be married. Well, I'm glad, you know, thank you for your honesty. But guess what? It doesn't matter what you think. You can't convince God to bless something his blessing's not on. And well, Pastor, you know, we really love each other. Then get married. Marriage is God's container. God made sex for marriage and marriage for sex. If you want to have sex, you got to get married. That's the deal. No hookups. No booty calls. No sexting. If you want to get it on, you got to get it on after you're married. Come on. When I was 12 years old, I had the deep revelation that I needed to get married. Y'all with me? So I'm glad God gave me a beautiful wife, 36 and a half years, marriage, very happy. So now I said this because millennials say, well, we should just accept people. Yes, we should. We should love everybody. But you never have to condone behavior that is a disharmony with Scripture. I love you, but what you're doing is wrong. I love homosexuals, but God wants to deliver them. I love people that are bound by whatever they're bound by. And see, you can't make up your own rules. See, and the closer you get to God, Holy Spirit inside of you, he will guide you. So I'm not banging on anybody. If you're in some kind of sexual behavior that's disagreement with Scripture, keep coming here because you'll get free here. You'll get free here. But recognize, just because you think something right doesn't make it right. If you think something's right, that's wrong. You have a stronghold. I think all black people, I think all white people, I think those Hispanic. Oh, really? I'm glad you think that, but your thinking is stinking. It's wrong. All this, all that, or this. So many people just, it's all fine. Gives us a chance in the church to bring the kingdom. Help people find Christ's freedom, okay? Second point, B, he's dwelling among the tombs. Tombs were placed where they put dead bones. Now think about this. He's living in darkness, depression, disillusionment, discouragement. He's living with bones. People that live controlled by their past are always oppressed, too oppressed to see the promise of their future. He's living with death. See, if you're not careful, something happened in your past, a trauma will keep you in a cave of darkness. And you'll be surrounded by the bones of failure, of misery, of death, and you'll miss. You're just a few feet away from the sunlight. And Jesus is calling you out of the tomb into the light of a new day. A new day. So the other day we were driving past the building we used to own in Scottsdale, and it's now a big, huge shopping center. It was a church. And I didn't feel one iota of pain. I said, God bless that shopping center. Make it the best one in Scottsdale. Help them all. Jesus, you healed me. Only Jesus. See, time doesn't heal all wounds. Jesus does. And he wants you to know there's nothing. A stronghold is something that keeps you in the past. And as long as you're living in the past, you're dead to the future. Okay? Third point, no one could bind him. Now, men, listen to me. There is a wildness embedded into the DNA of men called testosterone. I couldn't watch it. There was a big the only reason I was interested in it because a preacher's daughter knocked out another girl in this WWF, whatever it is, fighting. UFF. So, but I can't stand to see women fighting. Maybe I'm old school. Just, it's unnatural. You with me? Now, little boys with testosterone, they fight for fun. Okay, it's fight, war, they play. There's an aggression in men. But if you don't master your passion, you become a prisoner to your lusts. Okay? So he's out of control. No one could tame him. No therapy, no counselor, no help. No. And physical change. Now, this guy is not a bodybuilder. He probably rarely eats. He's very thin. He's malnourished. But he had demonic powers. And so he would have snapped things off of him. Don't be a person your whole life. Don't be one of these men. Preacher this, preacher that. He needs to lose some weight. Excuse me, I'm talking to myself right now. Call it a Freudian slip, Dr. McCray. So, anyways, don't be a person that can't receive from anybody. Don't be a person. Now, both men and women can have that, but men have a kind of a independent streak that God has to tame. A wildness. See, Jesus, in the book of Mark, he's in the wilderness 40 days. I love this picture. He's tempted. He defeats the devil in temptation. And so the Bible then says he's there in the wilderness, sitting on a rock, and he's surrounded by angels, and he's surrounded by wild beasts. See, you can't fulfill your destiny until you tame your beast. And there's just a wildness in men. It's hard to describe, ladies. There's just something in our DNA, in our chemical realities. Don't ever give an excuse. Well, I'm just a man. This generation gives excuse for men to be boys. Okay? No one could bind him. A life out of control, unable to be helped, wild, untamed lifestyle, addiction, compulsion, obsession. Okay, there we go. We have a problem in America with addiction. Addiction at its roots is a spiritual problem. It's an internal, it's not a chemical, biological problem. It becomes one, but addiction is a spiritual problem. And God, whenever anything from the ground, the ground that you are given authority by God to rule over, controls you, you're upside down. Doesn't matter if it's a bottle, a drug, a behavior, whatever it is, God's breaking addictions off of people today. In Jesus' name. Point number D, he was crying out and cutting himself. So he was self-destructive. So there are some people that their whole life, they push the envelope. They run red lights. They ignore safety things, either in their health, their emotions, their relationships, because something is driving them to destruction. But I bind the spirit of self-destruction today and declare you are coming out of it. The Bible says, and he cried out. Now think about this, day and night, mountains and tombs, mountains, seven mountains. Every place he went, he was in pain. So America, I don't know, we're 5% of the world population. We use 90% of the prescription drugs in the world. Why? Because people are in pain. And they're either medicating by the doctor's help or by self-help through illegal drugs, which are all becoming legal anyways. We're so interested. And so when you medicate a pain, you don't take it away. You just dull its presence. And Jesus always goes to the root and takes stuff away so that we can function. I'm nothing, listen, if you need medication to to make it through depression, or but never believe you can't be cured. Never believe that Jesus can't make your heart new. Never believe that he can't give you a good night's sleep. Never believe that you don't need those. I'm going to see my family on Thanksgiving. I need to be half drunk to see them. Well, then pray in tongues for half an hour. You'll be half drunk. Makalamanana. What are you on? I'm on the Holy Ghost. Woo! So let me say a couple of things here. A stronghold is a fortress of thought that creates a home for oppressive spirits to live. So a stronghold is a fortress of thought, a house of thought that creates a dwelling place for oppressive powers. The way to get rid of the oppressive powers, if you keep telling them to leave, but you never dismantle the fortress, they'll always come back. The fortress is thoughts. You dismantle it, you renew your mind. And when you renew your mind, you tear down the structures of hell, and they have no home in you. Here's what the Bible says. I'll just quote it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you're taking notes, write it down, verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, how many of you are here in the flesh? I see we have some spiritual entities today. Welcome, all of you. Ethereal spirits. So, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. You got to get this. If you don't get this, this next political season is going to drive you over the edge. See, if you don't start fighting in the right battlefield. We do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One negative thought can ruin your life. A friend of mine, a wonderful friend, Dr. Averna, and I both love this man dearly. A great apostle to the world. One thought made him a heretic. One thought. The devil tormented him. He wasn't sure his grandparents got saved and they died. And the devil said, he couldn't bear it, so he stopped believing in hell. One thought can ruin your marriage. One thought can steal your peace. One thought can create an open door, and the devil starts constructing a whole elaborate, a labyrinth of painful stronghold belief that starts controlling your... The devil's a big fat liar, quote me. Now, family strongholds are evident by controlling negative patterns of behavior that are common among family members. So family strongholds are revealed by controlling negative behaviors that they commonly exhibit. So when you deal with families, it's amazing. You can have family members that aren't even living together, but without Christ, they'll start mimicking the same kind of behaviors because they're under a stronghold. Well, granddaddy was a womanizer. Well, you know, grandma was a gossiper. You know what I mean? Well, whoop-de-doo. What about you? In the kingdom. So stronghold. So a regional stronghold is in the same way a controlling negative group think that binds people to a deception of the enemy. So if you go to Saudi Arabia. You know, God loves Muslims. We have 4 Arabic churches in Phoenix. CFTN does. Today, Muslims will come to Christ in Phoenix because of us. We love and are reaching them and getting miracles every week. You wouldn't believe the stuff we're seeing. But make no doubt about it, Islam is a horrific demonic stronghold. It's not just a religion, it's a stronghold. It makes good people do horrific things in the name of their God. You become like and take on the same characteristics of the God you worship. So it's stronghold. So you can land in places and if they don't overcome that stronghold, they become susceptible. Now, the greatest stronghold in the world today is not Islam. It's humanism in the Western world. The Western prince is stronger than the Eastern prince by far. And what's happening now is strongholds are making alliances. Humanism and Islam. They couldn't be more different. But because they have a common enemy called Christ and Christians. You better get this. Because really smart people at our universities are telling your children there's no God, they come from apes, that there's no moral code, that everything's relevant, that the Bible is a book of fables and lies. You can do whatever you want to. Professors say that so they can sleep with all the pretty girls in their classes without conscience or consequence. There's always reasons for these things, people. But this generation's being taught a bunch. So that's humanism. Humanism in the garden, the temptation to Eve was, you can be like God. And humanism says, we're God. We don't need God. We make our own rules. We set our own moral code. We will sanction what marriage is. We will create a new form of. And so that's a stronghold. And if the millennials don't conquer it, it will contaminate the church in their generation. Well, Pastor, we need to love everybody. Yes, please tell your homosexual, your transgender, your bisexual, all those people are welcome here. But also let them know, in this place, Jesus Christ sets people free. And just because you think something's right doesn't make it right. And the goal of God is to get people into their right mind. And you know your mind is right when you are in the same page as God is. Okay. People are hurting. Everybody say people are hurting. Now understand this. Everywhere you go, people are hurting. They're self-medicating. Everyone's hurting, no matter how they fake it, feign it. And Jesus Christ wants to heal the deep trauma of this country. Okay, lastly, so they come, the city comes up to see this dude who's been set free. And the Bible says three things. They find him sitting. And so I just want to say that there are some people, the enemy never lets them have 5 seconds of peace. They got to be doing something all the time, or they got to be with people all the time. Because there's so much unrest. And if they were to sit down and have a few moments of contemplation, they feel like they would be devoured by their own fears or pain. But when Jesus heals you, you can sit at his feet. You can be by yourself, put on some worship music, read your Bible, and have the best time of your life with no one else around you. You're with Jesus. And God's going to take some people keep going from relationship to relationship. From place to place, city to city, job to job, church to church. There's unrest in them. But Jesus tears down that stronghold and allows you to sit at his feet. Secondly, he was clothed, which tells us he was naked before. So clothing in the Bible speaks of identity. And in Jesus, we find out who we are. Amen. Can you imagine the whole Decapolis was 10 cities, gatherings in the Decapolis. A whole community of people had a common opinion about this guy. They told him who he was until one man came into his life. He says, that's not who you are. You're a son of God. You're a history maker. Go back there and win those cities. Tell everybody what you're a world shaker. And when he found out, when he clothed himself with his identity, he released the power of the kingdom of God. Now, interesting, this is the only time in the ministry of Christ when he has a conversation with a demonic entity to this extent. Here's what he said. What is your name? Strongholds in your life can't be overcome or removed until they're identified. The identification of them is 9/10 of the victory over them. That you have to get this, because a stronghold is something you become accustomed to thinking like, believing like, behaving like. And when the Holy Spirit exposes that, the exposure of it is 9/10 of the victory over it. So Jesus said, what's your name? Because I got to get rid of you. And so when we find out, when we identify our problem, it's not hard to get rid of it. The journey is finding it. Okay? But you got the Holy Ghost. You got the greatest doctor in the world inside of you. Helping you, guiding you, directing you. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, last point. He was in his right mind. The will of God for your life is to help you find your right mind in every part of your life. No, so a mind that is in alignment with God. So I'll just go over this quickly. Here's some points I wrote down in my own notes. I'll give them to you. We're in our right minds when, number one, strongholds have been identified, overcome, and removed. Number two, we're in our right mind when controlling behaviors, compulsion, and obsessions are overcome. Nothing has authority in your life superior to the Lordship of Christ. Number three, we're in our right minds when our souls are free from the trauma and pain of our past. Number four, we're in our right minds when we're being discipled by the Word of God. When you start thinking like God, you're in your right mind. You have the mind of Christ. Okay. Number five, we're in our right minds when our thoughts are in agreement and alignment with the kingdom of God and its principles. Number six, we're in our right minds when we think right about ourselves. Perhaps the greatest door into people's life is the door of misidentity. The greatest door of oppressive entities that bring a compound, complex, and torturous existence is when people don't know who they are. When you ask people what they're good at, so if you ask people to make two lists, tell me what you're good at, what you're bad at, they can tell you forever what they can't do, and most of them can't hardly tell you what they can do. When you ask people who they are, they know who they're not. But God wants you to know who you are. Number seven, we are in a right mind when the presence of unclean powers has been replaced by the Holy Spirit. Unclean spirits replaced by the Holy Spirit. That's God's will. I want to pray for you now. Today, I've been praying all week about this message because the Lord told me he was going to do great things today in people's lives. Now get this. This man was a portrait of an extreme case of a person who's demonized to the point. But the word possessed is also translated oppressed. And there are many people that live in constant oppression. They can function. They're going about their life. But there's a part of their world that's oppressed by the finger of the enemy, the activity of the enemy, because of strongholds. But we are dismantling houses of thought. We're driving out their inhabitants of darkness. And we're creating new space for the kingdom of God to occupy in our lives. Amen. Next year is going to be your best year ever because you're going to finish strong this year. Would you all stand to your feet with me, please? Prayer team, if you'd please join me down front. I'm going to ask this question today as we close the service. And I just want you to be honest, that's all. If you say, Pastor, I recognize that in my life there's some stronghold. Some part of my life, and it doesn't matter where it is or what it is. Today we're going to take a stand against it. We're going to say a public prayer, then I'm going to unleash the prayer team, and I'm going to pray too. We're going to have a great time of prayer, but I just want you to say, Pastor, today I'm claiming victory over a stronghold. If that's you, just wave your hand at me and say, Pastor, I'm claiming it today in Christ's name. I'm getting a stronghold out of my life today. Thank you, thank you. Now, there's a lot of people, like half the church, raise your hand. So here's what I want to do. I want everyone to say this prayer with me, that I'm going to call you forward, you that can come forward. But please get this. In the kingdom of God, your freedom is never dependent on someone else's faith. Okay? Pastor Mike, if you pray for me, I'll get healed. I'm going to pray for you, but you know what? You can get healed by your faith. You can get free by your faith. Well, Pastor, the devil's oppressing me. Please, I'll pray with you, but as long as you're dependent on me to drive the devil out, he'll keep coming back. A 5-minute-old Christian has authority over every demonic power on the earth. Satan himself. So say this prayer with me, would you, congregation? Say this, dear Heavenly Father, today I submit my life to you. Every part of my life I give to you. And today by faith, by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, I claim victory and absolute freedom in every part of my life. I repent for living with strongholds, and I refuse to let them stay. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me renew my mind, for healing my heart, and helping me overcome the enemy. In Jesus' name, I bind the devil. I command him to leave my life. I bind every stronghold. I command it to leave my mind. I declare I'm free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I boldly, unashamedly proclaim my freedom. I have been set free. I am born to be free. I will live free. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on. Come on, give God a shout of freedom. Jesus! Listen, as many of you that can, we would love to pray for you at the altar, and we'll pray as long as we have to. But you that raise your hands, if you can join us for prayer, we're going to pray for you now. Would you please come forward, whoever wants prayer? If you can't stay, we understand that. But a couple hundred of you just need to come forward and just give the devil a black eye today and say, yep, I'm making a stand today. Today's my victory, overcoming, triumphant, more than a conquering day.
Of the Lord, there is freedom.
Every chain
is broken through.
Come on, sing it while they didn't need prayer. Come forward. Maybe some of the staff can help me pray too. Pastor Judy, Dr. Craig, any staff people help me pray.
There is freedom.
You in my hands, and nothing can take you away from me. And even though it's been unsure, unsettling, and this storm has knocked everything away and taken so much from you, God says, I've got you in my hands. I'm holding you, I'm safeguarding you, I'm keeping you, I rescued you. And this story's not over. You're coming to a season. We're going to see the recovery of things that were lost, the healing of things that were broken, the restoration of things that you never thought you'd see again. I'm honoring your faith. I'm touching your body. I'm delivering your children, and I'm working in your behalf, says the Lord. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord, everybody.
Every chain is broken.
Thank you, Jesus.
Through you, Jesus.
you, Jesus. We worship you and praise you.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. I've been with you, the Lord says. I've been close to you. Close as a family, close to you, my daughter. And when the enemy thought he could shake you and he could disrupt you and disturb you and take you away from the peace I've given you, the rest, the love, the joy, the enemy's wrong. And the Lord says you're in a season where you felt vulnerable, you felt weakened, and you felt unassured. But I am with you to deliver you. I'm with you to help you. I'm with you to see you through. And God says a miracle's already happened. A miracle's already been released. A miracle to your family, to your loved ones. I've already begun to do what I promised you 6 years I would do, 6 years ago. This is the harvest season. It's begun. Watch what January holds for you. In February and March, watch what I do. It's already in motion. God says, now, the thing that's unsure today, as you stand here, I'm settling the issue for you there. And I've ruled on your behalf, says the Lord. God, thank you for helping this family in Christ's name. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. With the Spirit,
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free to shout it out.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free
to dance. Worship you. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free to dance and sing.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. I'm free to shout it out. I'm free. I'm free.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm free to dance and sing.
I saw the word overwhelming. This thing has been overwhelming to you. Three things at once, a perfect storm in your family, your life. You wonder about the outcomes. You wonder about even survival. But my son, I am with you. My son, I am close to you. And my son, I promise you, you're going to make it. And I promise you the things that have the enemies tried to hurt you and your family. He's tried to bring pain to you through others. But I'm a faithful God. And I'm watching over your children. I'm watching over your life. I'm watching over your family. I'm watching over you. I am with you. And I'm helping you. And God says, you're overcoming. You don't feel like it, but you are. And you're about to move into a different realm of strength, of grace, of existence. You're about to move into a realm you cried out for. And God said, I've loosed it to you, son. I've loosed it to you. The thing you prayed in that row, in that pew just 5 minutes ago, the thing you asked me to do, I'm doing for you today because I'm with you, because I love you, because my grace is enough to see you through, says the Lord. If you need to step out, church, I love you. Don't forget Wednesday night. We have a great service. God bless you.